100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny. You're listening to this on Bashani Radio app, black-owned and operated. You can download it free in the App Store and for Android. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to BashaniRadio.com or BennyRandall.com. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. Today, Master P was on the internet, and it made something come to mind for me once again, how we are constantly just building other people's companies that don't look like us. And now, don't get it wrong, this is not a hate fest for any particular person or app or whatever, but I just want to remind people that, you know, everything that we build that we don't own, we become a slave to. All right. So everything that we build that we don't own, we eventually become a slave to. Okay. One thing social media has shown us, platforms recently, I thought it was incredible. When they showed us how much power they had, when Twitter, YouTube, WhatsApp and Instagram and all of those decided to take Trump off their platforms, they effectively shut him down. That 88 million people who he had was really not his audience. It was the audience of the platform. And they showed you how much power they have. Now, it's not about any one particular platform that I'm speaking of. I just want to bring to the forth how much power you have when we can build something that we own that, you know, that we can benefit from us, and that some of that money can come back to a community, you know. And a lot of times we won't do that. And I love how Master P put it when he was speaking about, just today, Clubhouse was valued at about $1 billion. All right. And they're only in the beta phase. Right. And he was basically speaking about, you know, how we constantly are building other people's companies that don't look like us and then wonder why we don't have nothing at the end of the day. For those that didn't hear it, I'm going to give you a little piece so you could hear what Master P had to say.
I also started this, the Master Chat. It's all about just being able to chat with our people. I know that we going on Clubhouse. I keep telling people, we go on Clubhouse. We making another one of them a billionaire. We just did it, just with Clubhouse. We need to create stuff like that to where we control the narrative and we able to put money back in our community, in our culture. But, you know, if one of us did that, we would be saying, nah, I don't think that's gonna work. Why would you call it Clubhouse? It's not a club. We come up with all different type of excuses, right? Nobody cared. Everybody went on Clubhouse, blew this up. You know, this guy went to the bank, got whatever he want. He's gonna take that company public. We're not thinking like that. The only way we're gonna be successful, we're gonna have to start taking companies public. That's the way you build wealth.
And very, very powerful. And ladies and gentlemen, this happens again and again and again and again. And we wonder why we have no economic power. See, economic power comes in ownership of things that large majority of people utilize in some fashion or form. Just imagine if black people own Twitter. You know what I mean? They keep saying black Twitter. Yeah, black Twitter is on white Twitter. So, and this ain't about a black or white thing is where we're going with this. It's simply about an economic thing. So what I want to do today, I just want to get on the phone and call a few smart brothers and just get their feedback up from this. Because I'm going to tell you, if we don't start building our own, that's the reason why I even created Bashani Radio app, because I wanted to give brothers and sisters a place to have their voice and give them the support. You know, like if there's a problem with your show on ours, you know, you can email my text or my staff, and they will get right back to you. If there's a problem with your show, you can email or text them or even call if we have to. The point is, I want to say that we try to over-deliver in here what we do. But let's get back to this economic power. So I want to get on the phone and call a few smart brothers and just hear what type of feedback they got on this. Because if we don't do nothing, we won't have nothing. And we already know what that feels like. So I'm just gonna call a few smart brothers that I know that knows about building businesses and things like
Hello.
That. Mr. ADE, how you doing, brother? This is Benny Randall Jr., aka the Motivator. We live on the air, brother. How you feeling?
Excellent. How you doing, my brother?
Oh, man, you know I'm blessed and highly favored. I just want to ask you a question. You know, today Master P was, you know, on the internet fuming about how, you know, basically black people made Clubhouse valuation of $1 billion and it's still in the beta stages, and how we need to do that for our own selves, because we always going and building people companies, and then when we have a problem with it, nobody has to do anything about it because they don't own it, so they have no power. Twitter showed us how much power platforms can have by simply shutting down Mr. Trump, you know, and then everybody else fall in suit. So I just want to hear your thought on economic power. And for those that don't understand, this is MCAD. He has built a great music company. He's been doing music for a long, long time. I just want to reach out to some brothers today and just get their feedback on why we need to do better in owning the companies instead of always building them and having no say so. Talk to me, AD.
Well, you know, owning the company is very important for several reasons. Because, you know, working for somebody else, you know, of course, everybody needs to do something. You know, and at some point in your life, yes, it's you know, to get to a certain point, you may have to work for somebody else. But it doesn't mean that you have to stay in that mindset, because one of the worst things that I see that we can do is when we're working for somebody else is just becoming that trained hamster to keep working for somebody else, and not understanding it's okay to work for somebody else and do a good job for them, but think in your mind, have a goal of doing your own thing, having your own company, because once that company is finished with you, you're done and you're back to zero. You need to invest in yourself. And nobody's going to take care of you or pay you like yourself. So power, economic power is key. You know, that's just like Black Wall Street, you know, when it was built and how they did. They built up, they had a community of people that pooled together, that worked together, but building their own businesses. It was independent businesses that pooled together, that worked together, but built a strong community, you know, of ownership of businesses. So
let me ask you this, ADE. Why was it important when you was building your music company that it's heard all the way around the world? Why was it important for you to own your masters and to own your company and to own those things? Why you ain't just sell it to other people? There's a reason behind that. And I want you to explain that to the public.
Yeah, well, the reason, and let's say I kind of learned this along the way. It was instilled in me by my dad to do your own thing, you know, to build it and they will come. So I kind of learned from a young age, a very young age, on how to do that. And as I coming through my teenage years, learning and growing up, understanding that if I didn't do that, I would have never had what you call residual income. I would have never had things paying me 30 some years, 35 plus years later, you know, from work I did 35 years ago. You understand? So, and that's ownership. You see, you don't get that unless you have ownership. But when you have ownership, it can take care of you when, you know, you don't do that work anymore, you know? So it's very important. And like I said, I learned that by really going through it. So I would gladly tell people that don't understand that or understand what we're talking about right now to understand that these are the reasons you want to have ownership, because residual income is extremely important. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to not be on the hamster wheel all the time, where you got to keep working and working and working, because you get sick, you get tired, you know, you may want to take a rest. But if you're not getting residual income, you can't afford to do it. And as soon as you do it, then it snowballs and mm-hmm. your bills pile up, and before you know it, you're in the red, you're underwater, you mm-hmm. know. So you want to, you can, you want to build a business, want to do something that's going.
AD, I want to ask you this last question, because I'm just random. I'm calling some brothers who I know that are smart and know about building businesses and know about ownership, but I want to speak specifically to the Black culture in this particular conversation right here, and saying that, you know, if you don't own the grocery store, somebody else going to tell you what's available in your community. If you don't own the hospital, somebody's going to tell you what medical care is available. If you don't own the cars and the building, somebody's going to tell you where you can live and where you can't live. And so as the Black culture, we spend so much time building companies that we don't own, which dilutes our power in our own communities. I heard a very powerful wise man say today, and then I'm going to let you go because I know you're busy. He said that the reason why you see Black men going through what they're going through with the police, because there is no way to keep them accountable. You see what I'm saying? In other words, mm-hmm. you know, all the judges are not Black, or, you know, and we don't have a lot of people in the right situations. They are not being convicted at all. They're being let go. So there is no consequences for them acting like they act. You know, it's like when you teach a child, if you give mm-hmm. them some type of consequence, then they're going to think twice about doing it. So let's move back to economic power. If we own none of the companies that we use, from the record companies to the entertainment companies to the television companies, how can we possibly be in control of the narrative? And how could it possibly, instead of always having to ask somebody, you know, you need to do more things for Black people, you know, if you had the people in the right positions, you know, at building their own tables, we wouldn't have to ask. We would have people always building that. So I just want to ask you this last question. According to the economic power, what do we have to do as a community to think about ownership in these companies that we use every single day, from groceries to hospital to all your needs? If all of your needs are met by some other culture, then all your money is leaving your community. Talk to me.
You're exactly right. So, I mean, we should be able to see it around us, because all the others are building in our communities, putting their businesses in our communities, and making their families strong off of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the thing is, you could sell a product, because you are a product and what you do is a product. You can sell a product one time, or you can sell it a million times, that same product. So you have to think in those terms. You know, do I want to sell it one time and just get that money and I'm gone? Because that's how we think. You know, we just think of get it right now, but we have to think the long game. We got to think on how we can keep selling that product over and over and over and over again, you know. So we have to really change and condition our minds and understand, because we were not taught economics in our communities. We don't really understand that we know the fast game. We know the hustle, you know, and that's a problem with us. We have to understand the 5-year plan, you know, the 10-year plan. You know, this is a mentality we have to change. We got to stop looking at, you know, I want it right now, you know, because that right now, it'll kill you.
Yeah, I like what you said, AD. You said the long game, and that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Brother, I appreciate you picking up the phone and you live on the radio talking to millions, and I appreciate you know, just dropping those jewels on you, man. Anything you want to leave the audience with, brother?
Keep your head up, stay focused, and we don't know what tomorrow, you know, whether we'll make it tomorrow or not, but plan for it. And if you're not here, it doesn't matter. But if you are, at least you got a plan.
And there it is, from the super producer, MC ADE. Make sure y'all check him out, man. If people want to learn more about you, ADE, where they can go, man, where they can go and find out something about you, brother?
They can go to Facebook, catch me at MC ADE, Bass Mechanic. They can go to Instagram and catch me, MCADE. What is that? MCADE, creator of Miami Bass. And, yeah, you know, holla at a player.
There it is. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you answering my call, because a lot of people don't answer calls sometimes. So I appreciate you, brother. Much love.
No problem, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right, much love.
All right. That was very, very powerful. Like I said, man, I'm going to just go down the line, and I'm going to just call people on my phone. I'm just going down the line right now, you know. And
hello?
Mr. Gigolo Tony, the one and only. How you doing, brother? This is Benny Randall, a.k.a. The Motivator.
What's up there, Motivator? Oh, man, I'm just chilling, living life.
There it is. I just want to let you know we live on the air, just me, you, and about 3 million people. I want to ask you a question. Master P was on the internet today, and he was, you know, had a little frustration with that we are always building other companies and creating other billionaires that don't look like us. which is why I built my own company. And I was just going down the line, and I'm just dialing up some very smart brothers. I just got off the phone with a couple smart brothers. Even MC ADE was just on the line for a second. I know you know him. Let me ask you something. The Clubhouse was valuated at $1 billion today, and it's still in the beta stages. The majority of the people that are using it are black and brown people. Can you speak to my listeners and tell them why it's so important that we have to be in the ownership portal if we plan to have some say-so in the media, if we plan to have some say-so in things that we use? Because I know you've been in the music business for a long time, you know what I mean, and you own your masters, and that's for a long time. A lot of people couldn't even do that. Can you speak that for to a second? Speak to that for a second, brother.
Yes. Like you said, Mr. Motivator, we need to invest in our own products, our own things that we are, like you say, for as other people that don't look like us, we're making them rich. So we need to take our own money. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We're scared to invest our own money into ourselves and into people that look like us. So that's, first of all, we need to take our own money that's in our neighborhood, keep it in our neighborhood, invest in things that's going to make our neighborhood grow, as well as our culture and everything else around us.
Mm, very, very powerful, D. Because, you know, here's what I know, Gigolo. One thing I do know, it's like if we don't own whatever we are consuming, we don't really have a say-so into what it is we have in our neighborhoods. We don't have we can't worry about what the media are not talking about if we're not supporting those companies that are like us. You understand? So, yeah. You know, Twitter and all of them just recently, Tony, Twitter them showed us how powerful they were when they shut down Trump. You know what right. I mean? And yeah. just like that, 88 million people was disconnected. You know what I mean? So that's power. But that can only happen when you own the network, when you own the product, when you own the platforms. You know what I mean? And let me ask you this, Tony. Even in our neighborhoods, a lot of times we don't have stores that sell very healthy food because they tend to go to other places that are more economically in tune to the higher prices, and they will sell us the stuff that's very cheap. You know, what can you speak to my listeners? There's only me, you, and about 3 million listeners right now. What can you advise some of these young people coming up about the importance of, you know, we only have one Tyler Perry, you know what I mean, that owns a studio right out. You see what I'm saying? But we need way more than one of this and one of that. You know what I mean? What kind of advice can you give the culture, man? Because if we don't do something about it, we just going to, you know, somebody always said that, told me a long time ago, Tony, they said that, you know, when you borrow, you become a slave to the lender, which is why I've always thought about building and building and building. So if we're always at the mercy of other people, how can we possibly have any economic power, brother?
We got to get the mindset and forget about the mindset of, you know, going along to get along. So we got to start following, and we got to start leading from our own neighborhood, from our own, you know, place. I mean, even like you said, all the black stores are being bought out by foreigners. And if you go into the black neighborhood, there are no black owners no more. There are no mom and pops. So we got to invest back into ourselves and into our neighborhood and into our community. Keep the money here. Keep the money local. Stop going out spending money on people that don't look like us. Building their future, building their brand. We need our own brand, and we need to stay focused on us.
Mm. One last question, Tony. When did you find it important for you to start owning your own masters in the music business? Because it wasn't a long time ago that people basically sign a contract and they give their masters away, and then those people use that music for whatever they want. Just recently, the toy company owns the entire catalog of Death Row. You know what I mean? Through a merger right. deal. You see what I'm saying? Like, what's the toy company going to do with the entire catalog of Death Row? They're going to make millions and millions, and they have no vested interest in it other than to make profit. Who taught you that it was important for you to own your master so you can control what your future of you and your kids look like?
Well, myself, and I got to give my brother Ron May credit, you know. Ron May credit, you know, he recently taught me some things that I didn't even know, you know. So it's you're never too old to learn. But I learned and I realized that I'm the one who's doing all the work. I'm the one who writes, and people not even spitting a lyric and they're making all the money just sitting back in the office. Mm-hmm. So that's what made me decide that, look, I got to own my own masters, my own production, and I got to get not only performers' rights, performers' money, I need to get writers' rights too. So we need to stop selling away what's really important, stay focused, and that's the long run. That's what's going to keep you for decades, for years. Your publishing and stuff like that. So that's what we need to do as artists, you know, as you were saying, as people of our culture and our nature and our color, our skin, black and brown, we need to bet on ourselves and focus on us.
Very powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Gigolo Tony, the one and only. He Googleicious, man. You just Google him. The brother been around for years. You know what I mean? Doing this in this music game. And I appreciate you answering the phone, bro, because I know it's hard to get to you, man. So I appreciate you picking up the call, brother.
Anytime to motivate a call, baby, I'm there.
There it is. I appreciate you, brother. Have a good one.
You too, man.
Like I told you, man, we just going down the line, man. We just got off with super producer MCADE and producer Tony Gigolo. Tony, man, I'm telling you, man, it's going down when the motivator call, the people are answering. You know, I'm going over to another smart brother that I know about. His name is Bobby Ray Ivory, okay? If you don't know this, he's Googleicious. Bobby, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir.
Oh, man, I appreciate you taking this call, man. I'm just going down the line and speaking to some smart brothers. Master P was online today, and he was talking about, you know, how Clubhouse, the app, got a valuation of $1 billion and is still in the beta stages, and how, you know, we as the black culture, you know, we got to be able to put our money into things that we own, and we got to be able to build up things that we own. Otherwise, we will never really have a say-so. In it. Let me speak to you about that. How important is building our own, and why do we seem to have such a issue of building and owning our own, but we'll spend our time, our money, and our effort to build it for other people who don't look like us, and then we'll get mad when they don't do or they don't pay much attention to us. Talk to me, brother.
Right. Well, for the first question, how important it is, it's a matter of life or death, to be quite honest, because it's like being in a war, so to speak. And if you don't have any ammunition, if you don't have a base, if you don't have support, if you don't have an army, then you don't have a defense, which means that you are in a very vulnerable position to be taken over. And like you said, that's why people don't listen to us like they used to. Because we used to have cohesion back in the 60s, when Martin and Malcolm were doing their thing and giving us leadership. But now we have so much distrust. With so much distrust, but it is paramount that we get behind brothers like yourself, which is why I support the Bashani Radio app, what you're doing, because you're doing it, and I want to see that grow, and I want to see that grow because you own it, and you're a brother, and I support that. And I believe that there are other people that, you know, there's smaller groups of us that are out there, but we just have to reach out to more, and we just have to give them the compelling argument as to why they need to support. It's not just a slogan, it's a matter of life or death.
That's very powerful. I like that, because everybody around here talking about buy black, and buy black. And then as soon as you see, they ain't buying black and they ain't coming back.
Right. So. We have to provide value.
Absolutely.
Value oriented.
Absolutely.
And one of the things you talk about is that mind shift, and that's our job. Regardless to people may be negative now, but if we find the right language, we find the right hook, and we can never stop. And that's the bottom line. We can't never give up. I don't care how bad it looks. Mm-hmm. We can't stop. And I'm not going to stop. And I know you're not going to stop. And I know it's other brothers that's not going to stop. And I applaud Master P, what he's doing, and that new supercar company he just got involved with. I don't know all the particulars, but I know that he's got his hands in it. I don't know how deep his hands in it, but I know it made me proud to know that Master P was in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and he's got his hands in there pretty deep, trust me. And that's a good look. One more question before we go. I'll get out of here because I'm just going through my Rolodex and I'm calling some smart brothers that I know. And so let me speak to this part, Bobby.
Yes, sir.
You've been owning your company for years, okay? And one thing I've noticed that no matter what we do as a culture, you know what I mean, we have no say-so when we're not in the ownership table. We can't get mad when the media don't highlight our great black heroes because they have no vested interest in it because we have no power or economic power to make them have a vested interest in it. We can't get mad when the grocery stores are not selling healthy food because they don't have to sell healthy food because we buy all the cheap stuff that's junk. And since we don't own the stores, there is no reason for them doing. So I can go on and on the list of the things that we use as black and brown consumers, but we have no say so in it, but we'll get mad when it doesn't, you know. And I heard a smart brother say, he said that if you want to truly understand how to make the cops stop killing brothers, they have to have some consequences. There have to be consequences on what happens if you do it. You can't just be like, oh, you're going to get a vacation with payoff. That's not a consequence. They have to have some real life consequences that because he said, you know why they don't kill the Jewish people or whatever, because they move as a unit, they move as a group, and they have the right people in the right places, and they have economic power, and they will make you pay for something that you do. We don't seem to have that system in place. Can you talk to that, brother?
We don't have that system in place. And unfortunately, because we don't have a leader to look to. When they took out, and when you look at Malcolm and Martin, you know, though we still talking about them, and they've been dead, 30, 40 years. I don't know exactly how many. But we used to look to them. Now we look into people and we look at like, well, what do we do? Because the ones that have any type of say-so seem to have sold out. Mm. And I believe, but I still believe that if enough of us continue to gain high visibility, because I applaud like a lot of people in the rap community, like Ice Cube and Master P. These are gentlemen that are stepping up to the plate and being vocal politically.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of their entertainment, what they do is entertainment, but they're speaking to the real. And I believe this pandemic is giving black people a second look at life, and what's important. And I believe that what's happening with the black community with this pandemic is family once again and coming together. They're seeing how important that was, and I think that's a link to us really coming back together as a people and seeing our interests we can't just march every time somebody gets shot.
Mm.
You see, that hasn't changed anything.
Right.
But I did see some brothers come and exercise, their amendment rights to bear arms, and that got folks' attention. I'm not talking about becoming radical. What I'm saying is they came together to let people know you're not going to just keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to respond. But what we need to do that in an economic sense. But like I said, I believe as family becomes more important, as we see that, I think that is the key, because the Jewish people, they believe in family. Family is very important in the Jewish community. I think that's where we start, is getting family to be more important. I just heard about this show that I hadn't, you know, I haven't seen this at all, but it's about the absence of fathers in the home, which means that they're bringing it back to the forefront, the importance of fathers. And that's really about the importance of leadership.
Very, very powerful. Bobby, I appreciate you picking up my call, man. I know you're very busy. People want to learn more about you, brother. Where can they do that at?
They can go to ivorycoastmedia.com, connect with me there, connect with me on Instagram, Bobby Ray Ivory on Instagram. They can catch me on Facebook, Bobby Ray Ivory, same name, Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. They can catch me there.
There it is. Y'all see how that brother be branding? He'll make you think about it. Bobby Ray Ivory. Where you got me, Bobby Ray Ivory? You seen Bobby Ray Ivory? I know where Bobby Ray Ivory. He's Bobby Ray and he's Ivory. Now what? I appreciate you coming on this call, brother. I know you can. I'm just going through my Rolodex to some very smart brothers, and hopefully we can come up with some solutions, man. And I appreciate you, brother. Have a good one.
I appreciate you as well, sir. And thank you, man. Love Bashani, man. Love it.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Wow, that was some powerful information. You're listening to The Benny Randall Show right here on Bashani Radio app with millions of listeners, Black-owned and operated, ladies and gentlemen. And I told you it was going to be a fabulous, fabulous show. We've been going down the line. I've just been going through my Rolodex and calling some smart brothers. But what good would all these smart brothers be back without a smart sister? So I got right now, you know, in the fold right now. Now, Christy Rutherford, if you don't know, you better Google her because she Googleicious. Christy, you're on the air. How you doing today?
Super smart, unicorn riding, general hustler, super nerdy woman.
You heard that.
And
unicorn
riding.
And a
little spice of crazy.
And that's what's necessary to win. Okay. That's what's necessary to win. Christy, I've been going through... speaking to a whole lot of smart brothers. So I want to bring in a sister to chime in. And, you know, Master P, you know, was frustrated with how quickly it's still in the beta stages. But this ain't about just Clubhouse. It's about the concept of how we build things for other people that we don't own. And if we continue to do that, we will have no economic power. The reason why the media doesn't focus on our issues is because we don't own it. We don't have no vested interest in it. The reason why the grocery stores sell bad food in Black neighborhoods and good food in other neighborhoods is because we don't have no economic power and we're not owning that store so they can sell whatever they want to sell. Here's my question to you, Christy. How do we affect the culture of trying to understand how very important it is that we not only build our own platforms and build our own companies that we own, but we can't just build them and sell them. We got to build them and keep them if we plan to have some type of economic power. Talk to me.
I think we're answering really the wrong question because it goes back into our conditioning and our program. If we're taught to hate ourselves, then we're going to hate everything that looks like us. So if I'm taught to hate myself as a Black woman, of course I'm going to hate on other Black women. Hate other Black women.
Hold up, Christy. You just dropped a bomb so big on here. I think you just blew every man out here. Can you repeat what you said? If we are taught to do what?
If we are taught to hate ourselves, then we're going to hate anything that looks like and reflects us.
Wow. Go ahead, sister. I knew you would drop bombs, but I ain't know you would drop a tsunami.
Yeah, so why would I support if I don't like myself secretly, and I didn't know that I hated myself until I didn't hate myself no more. And I was like, wow. What was that about? And how did this happen? You got Bob the Builder in the background. You're not gonna hear you. But how did that happen? And we are conditioned at very young ages, you know, and even through television, not to like ourselves. So now we come to, you know, the present state of Clubhouse, and you think about all the people who jumped on board. Are you doing some of the background? You can put yourself on mute. You're not going to hear you.
No. I am actually on mute, but you go ahead, though, because I think this is just payback, ladies and gentlemen.
You're the third person on this line.
Know what it is. I have a whole lot of people that are on the line, so I just want to make sure everybody is beautiful.
Okay. We'll hurry up.
Go ahead. You are straight bananas.
I'll hurry up.
She just blew the whole spot.
So now when it comes to Clubhouse, or I would say before Clubhouse, that's why we're so reluctant to support Black business. Because if, you know, we'll hate on anything that we can't have. So even when, you know, I got $1.5 million in raises for sisters, in a pandemic, that is the least celebrated post that I'll put out. But if I sing a Woe Is Me story and talk about how I burned out, I'll get applause from, you know, from all the sisters around the world. So now when it comes to, so that's why we don't necessarily support Black businesses. So it's not why are we supporting Clubhouse? It's why don't we support Black business? Let's bring it back, you know, one layer further. It's why don't we love ourselves? Let's bring it back one, you know, another level forward. Is the music that's created today that's calling women bees and hoes. And so women in the, I was just talking to somebody when he was blowing my phone up calling me, you know, about how this group of 16 to 20 to 24 year olds see the world. It's like if men are conditioned through music to call women bees and hoes, and then women are conditioned through the music to accept it and to talk about sex, smoking, drinking, and all this other kind of stuff. A part of the culture creates that where it further strengthens the inability for us to love ourselves and then, in fact, love each other. So for Master P, the businessman, to be out here talking about he mad about Clubhouse, he perpetuated some of the same problems that we had in the music that he created. Ooh, now, let's get to the Clubhouse.
Ooh.
You heard that.
Oh, this so is going down, ladies.
I threw shade.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Master P, I don't know. I'm gonna call you brother, but
whoa. I mean, I'm just saying. He's the part of the problem. Y'all, they point at Clubhouse. Clubhouse. Clubhouse is like a freaking speck of dirt in the whole world. And I'm not calling it that small, but we need to be talking about the real problems. Okay, so now let's go to Clubhouse. So Clubhouse came out, and I'm looking at all these people on social media that's, you know, gassing it up. And I'm an Android level, so I don't know what people talk about. And Black people flock to it and they love it. And we were, you know, building it up in the beta stage. And it was one or a couple people in particular. I mean, they were on Facebook gassing up Clubhouse all the time on Facebook. And then yesterday put out a post, and this is where I saw it, where they got a valuation of $1 billion. And this person was mad and was like, I backed out. It's too late.
So hold on. They got a valuation and that person mad now. They was booming them up. They was doing all the free advertisement. Now you mad?
Exactly. You've been advertising for them for about 2 to 3 months. This person alone put 10,000 people on Clubhouse. I promise you I'm not exaggerating these numbers. And now you mad? You were a part of the problem. Now you mad? It's like, now I backed up because, you know, they always get the money and we don't get it. I was like, whatever. I can't even take you seriously. So
Yo, you dropping some shade on this thing. So you're saying that person probably single-handedly got 10,000 people to join.
Single-handedly. You called me after I had two bowls of Cocoa Puffs. I'm a little hype on sugar and chocolate. Yes.
What was their name?
Single-handedly put at least 10,000 people on there through her network and then through their network, talking to their network, and an amazing human being. Does that make sense? And so it's the foresight of how and when will we as business owners and people that we put our support behind, when will we have the foresight to see where this is going? Clubhouse blew up in a very short period of time by influencers wanting to get on and have these conversations.
Right.
We can't be mad at Clubhouse. It's like, what did they do? Can we take notes? But Clubhouse is just another perpetuation of something that happened that probably happened 3 months ago and something that happened 6 months before that. So, you know, people started talking about Quibi, you know, why did Quibi had their valuation and then they failed. And it's like, you know, that money could have been given to, you know, 10,000 sisters. And I'm like, no, the person who created it had a background. He had a network. He built, I mean, so we're always worried about what other people are getting as opposed to and mad about it and thinking that we can't create the very same opportunities. We should start to look at ourselves and say, what can we create and stop hating on, you know, what other people are getting. That's what I got.
You know, Chrissy, you know, everybody, it's so funny that you just dropped it in. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the other people who are on can't hear what Christy just said, and Christy can't hear what they just said. But it was real funny that the first two people were super producers.
I'm just saying, whatever.
And then you just came on and dropped this bomb. But see, that's the beauty right here. But you know that everything you said makes sense. But one thing I want to approach even a little deeper, you know, just ask you this question, then I'll let you go. I know you're very busy. You said I was harassing you and stressing your phone. But you know, when I need to get the people, I need to get the people. So
I love it. I ain't gonna knock it. I got off the phone immediately.
You ought to be.
Benny Randall is calling me. I got to go.
So, but let me ask you this though. You made a very valid point, which I noticed none of the other people made, and that is it's way deeper than a club. And this ain't about a clubhouse, you know, banging or badgering. A clubhouse, that's just another platform somebody created, and each person has an individual choice to be on it or not. That is your choice. Nobody's making you be there. But the deeper feeling here when you said, and that hurt me to my soul, that we don't love ourselves, so we don't love anything that looks like us.
Impossible.
If that's the case, how do we ever have economic empowerment? That's why we only have one Tyler Perry, but he can't make all the movies for all black people, you know, and black and brown people. Mm-hmm. So how do we get beyond that? What is the solution to that? Because that's a more deeper embedded problem right there from what you just said. Like that just hurt my soul.
Well, I asked my you know, my grandmother, and actually was an older gentleman. He was about 90, 95. When I talked to him and I said, what were some of the best times that y'all had? And where do you think we went wrong as a people? And they said something that was so interesting. And I didn't get it at the time, but they said that integration was the worst thing to happen to black people. And I was like, what?
Wow. You know,
integration. And I was like, but, you know, like y'all were harassed. They said, well, at least we knew whose side we were on. And so I talked to Thomas Moorhead, who owned, you know, the first African-American owned Rolls Royce and Lamborghini dealership. And so he was older when they grew up in black neighborhoods, and there was community there. You know, I grew up in a black neighborhood, and there was community there. My neighbors, you know, had permission to tell my mom on us, and they had permission to whoop us if they had to, but they didn't. But they had permission to, they cared about us and they looked out for us. And they, you know, told my mom, and my sister had these boys coming over to the house playing live music when my mom was at work. But it was, but ooh, it was a community. But it was a community, and we cared for each other and we looked out for each other. Now people live beside people, they don't even know their name, because everybody go home, they let the garage door open and they close the door, and you don't know who live right beside you. And so we had a community where, you know, even James Brown said, I'm black and I'm proud. I mean, and we cared about each other. There was music that talked about making love, not WAP or whatever, because, you know, I'm kind of corny when it comes to that. But
that was made by
a lady. We cared about each other. Yeah. And we loved each other. And even though there was a struggle, we were all moving towards something. And that was equality, being treated equally. And now it's like the disintegration of the culture. But they don't see it as disintegration. They think that it's making us stronger, but it's actually tearing us apart. So, you know, not teaching men that it's okay to call women that, teaching women that it's okay to be called that. And even though people say, well, I don't really listen to the music, I just like the beat. Well, you're actually singing the song, and your subconscious doesn't know the difference between a joke and the truth. Mm-hmm. That's one. And then two, how can you want love and you are calling women names, but you really want them to love you, but you're calling them bees and hoes, expecting to be adored? Like, this is madness. So the perspective and the perception of this next generation of how they interpret love is through, I would say just shaded lenses of dysfunction. So until we teach each other how to love each other, you know, really how to love ourselves. And if you love yourself, then you can fully love and support other people. We need to focus on wholeness and not blame. People are glossing up, with Gucci and they crazy. You know, you crazy, but you got on Chanel. We talking about cause, but you're so broken. And so we're perpetuating this cycle of everything is about money and cars and women, but it's really about love and it's wholeness and it's peace and it's health.
Let me tell you.
And if we can get back to that, I think we can make a big difference in the world.
Let me tell you something, Christy. You know how to come in here and close. I'm scared. I don't even know who to go to next now because. You one of those people when you call, this probably shouldn't be nobody follow you. So I'ma really feel some type of way with the person that's gonna follow you on this call right here. I'm not gonna even say their names. I'ma just pick one of these lights that's blinking and I'ma just let them go out of it because all I know, I don't wanna follow what you just said. So I would rather have been in ahead of what you just said. Instead of being behind you, you're like James Brown. When he come on, there's nobody else should really come on after James Brown. You know what I mean?
Put my cloak and my crown on and escort me off the stage.
I am so not mad at you, Christy. I appreciate you dropping a dime in here. I'm sorry. I just going through this line. I'm going through my Rolodex. I'm calling some people. And
no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
And you know, all I'm going to do, I'm going to apologize to the producers that was on prior to you because I didn't know what you were going to say. So
the views that were expressed by Christy Rutherford are those views by Christy Rutherford in her happy bubble alone. They are not the reviews or the views expressed by the Shiny Radio, Burkate, or Benny Randall. They are mine and mine alone. And he did not know what I was going to say. Did not.
I promise you, I didn't know what she was going to say. And you can just, I'm speechless right now. I don't even know which button to hit right now. I know I got to get you off this call, but I don't know which button to go to now. So I'm going to feel sorry for whoever coming next. That's all I'm going to say. Christy, if they want to know more about you, they can learn more about you. Where could they do that at?
You can learn more about me at ChristyRutherford.com, or you can connect with me on Instagram at Christy.Rutherford or LinkedIn, which is my favorite platform. That's where the business people are. So ChristyRutherford.com, you can find out everything about me.
Ladies and gentlemen, I told you the fire was going to come. I don't know. I should have put Christy on the very last person because you never know what you going to get. It's like gumbo when you bring Christy on. You just Christy's don't like know if I know what's going to be. Yeah, you just don't know what you going to get. Christy, I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate you for answering my call after five calls. So next That's time.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, next time, can you answer on the first call, please? I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. Bye, y'all. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Randall. Okay, bye.
Wow, all I could say, man, Christy Rutherford, she dropped it like it was hot. I don't even know who to bring after Christy Rutherford, so I'm going to just have to bring this brother on because he quick with it, you know what I mean? His name is Mr. Dante. He's an investor. He is a leader. He is a teacher. And Dante, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. It's just me, you, and about 3 million people, brother. I just want to ask you this question. You know, Master P was real frustrated because Clubhouse got a $1 billion valuation. They still in the beta stages, and his whole point of his frustration is not so much with Clubhouse, but how we go and support things that we don't own, and then we wonder why we have no power, no say so, you know, in the things that happen to us or happen against us because we have nothing invested and we have no economic power. Can you talk to that for, can you talk to me and the culture for a second about the importance of ownership and why it's important if we plan to have a say so in all the things that happen to us?
Right. So you're absolutely right. You should be really kind of mad about that. But in a sense, the reason why you should be mad is because we don't have ownership ourselves. And ownership is powerful because it's real estate, right? And it gives us a seat at the table, you know, literally for just other investments. And he was right. Like, we don't have ownership of things, so we don't have power. If we don't have power, we have no say so. So that is definitely whatever you're doing as far as like having ownership in real estate, whether it's ownership in your own websites, right? Ownership in your own marketing. You actually have power when you actually have ownership and personal and real estate, no matter where it's at, is whether it's real estate or digital real estate. So,
uh-huh. Yeah, Twitter, like I was talking to all the other people that was, you know, on Proud to You about how powerful Twitter showed us by owning their platform. They was able to shut down the president of the United States when they chose to. And that 88 million people, he considered his followers had no access to him when they cut it across the line or whatever. I know you invest in real estate and things. What made you want to invest in real estate other than the places that you were living, you know, your own? Most people, their whole dream is to get their dream house that they pay for until they die and they okay.
Right. Well, it was important to me because I never understood what making money was, but I never understood what creating wealth was or building wealth was.
Mm-hmm.
Until I started to get around a lot of people that was actually creating it, right? And so it's very powerful to actually start to invest early, whether it's real estate, because you're creating long-term wealth for yourself and having a say so. You know, no matter if you own property like in the county, right, you have say so in that county because you pay taxes in that county, right? You have real estate there in that county. Whether it's a commercial building, you have a say so. You have a voice, right? And that voice actually counts. And so the bigger you own, the more real estate you own in specific areas, the more of a voice that you really have. And you can actually speak for, you know, the people that don't have a voice, right? So that's one of the most important things about it. And so even when I saw, you know, they took the voice away from Trump, you know, that was that right there in itself. I get why they did it. But, you know, if you look at the whole, he doesn't own Twitter, right? We don't own Facebook. We don't own, you know, Clubhouse. We don't own these platforms. So we definitely need to have our own platform where we have our own voice, right? So they can't actually shut you down and they can't redirect the conversation that you want to have versus what they want to have. And so I think that's very, very important.
And that's very, very powerful. I'm just curious, you know, before I let you go out of here, because, you know, a lot of times I own a lot of real estate here in New York City. And I did that for the reason because I always said I never want to be sleeping in my car again. So I'm always have a place to live if I own the building. I thought it was very interesting that you purchased a church. What made you make a thing like that? You know what I mean? Most people don't think about a building like that being valuable.
Right. It's for me, when I looked at it, I looked at obviously the numbers and I looked at, you know, where the area is going to go. But another thing is you might tear down houses. You might tear down a lot of different things, but a lot of people are not tearing down churches. I rarely saw a church that gets tore down. Right. I always see churches full. So that was one of the decisions that I made when going into that. I also looked at, you know, the historics behind it. And you're not tearing it down, right? So yeah, that was one of the definite things that went into owning that piece of property.
Oh, man, that is very powerful. Just one last question, brother. So all in all, what do you got to say to the culture right now that's on the coming? Because if we continue to do it, I've been repeating this over and over again as I talk to all the people that I just been, you know, busting down their phones to get their input. So if we don't own the grocery stores, we don't determine whether we get healthy food or bad food. If we don't have judges and things in places where they can make the decisions, then there is no consequences when another black man gets shot. If we don't own all the stores that are selling all the things that we consume, all the money that is going into those places are leaving your community, the black and brown community. So because there's no consequence of economic, you know, revenge or rebel, I think I just made up that word, but not being able to just come back and be revengeful because of having some type of power, where do you see the black community and brown community winning if they have no economic power?
I think we chase money a lot. And one of the things is you can't chase money because you'll never catch it. Right. So if you focus, I think if we focus on serving the people, right, the money will be a byproduct of helping people. And so money only changes hands when, you know, a problem is solved. So I think we need to get better at problem solving our own problems so that way we create a better economy. And we and out of that, we come out with brilliant ideas and abundance.
Very, very powerful, brother. I appreciate you bringing it on the line here, man. We just went down the line, a couple super producers, a couple leaders, entrepreneurs. This is what it is. But we got to have a bigger conversation. We can't settle this in an hour. So I appreciate you coming. If people want to learn more about you, Dante Godfrey, I love his name, people. I don't know why. When I say Godfrey. Dante Godfrey. You know what I mean? Because he's slick with it. He's just being very nice right now. So, you know, if people want to learn more about you, how can they learn more about you, brother?
You can just go to my website, DanteGodfrey.com.
Just like that. You see, that's called branding, baby. It ain't like, oh, go to my sister's cousin's house and knock on the door and leave an envelope under the door and they'll get back in touch with me. No. DanteGodfrey.com. It is just that simple. Right. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for being on the Benny Rounder Show.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very, very powerful show, and I appreciate all those people that decided to pick up the phone when I gave them a ring. And even those who didn't pick up the phone when I gave it a ring, I appreciate you. I figured the only way to follow Christy and Dante is to drop it with this brother. And he gave a two-step plan on how we need to do and what we need to do as the black community in order to have some significant differences. I'm going to play this right here, and I want you to listen very carefully and intently, and then we're going to rock it out after that.
I'm Byron F. Wilson, founder of the Wilson Academy. The riots that have taken place all over the country and now all over the world are inevitable, and contrary to the opinions of some, the riots are both effective and necessary. The problem is, it's not a sustainable path to what we want. But then what next? What are we supposed to do? That's what this message is about, what we're going to do. Young people, my college students, my high school students, you're ready to act. You're ready to fight. But no one's listening to you. They just keep telling you to go home. But I hear you, and we have a plan. In order to find a solution, we must first understand why this is happening. The reason that officers of the law and private citizens acting as if they're officers of the law continue to murder us is because we can offer no consequence. For example, the reason you don't see Jewish people being murdered by police is because the Jewish community can provide economic consequences. They own things collectively. They're well invested in the media and the law. And they've built a strong community by focusing on exclusive internal growth and wealth building. But when members of the black community are murdered by white officers or vigilantes, we peacefully protest, focus on whatever election is upcoming, and ultimately, there are no convictions for the criminals. There's something that we missed about how the civil rights movement was effective. Protesting was just the beginning. It was to unify the people and bring attention to the issue. But the next step was always economic action, boycotting, investing in our communities. Then that economic action is what forced legislation. The reason our efforts continue to fail is because we first of all keep asking for change instead of forcing it. But secondly, because we keep skipping a critical step in the process. So what do we want? Well, in the short term, we demand justice. In the long term, we demand reform, but we must be specific if we are to hold our nation accountable. So we demand three things. One, we demand convictions and equitable and appropriate prison time for all officers involved in the murders of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and all parties involved in the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery. Two, we demand legislation that ensures independent review of public safety officers. And three, we demand a modification to the standards by which officers can be prosecuted. I'm sure you've heard people say, if you want change, get to the polls. Now, I'm not suggesting voting is useless, but the reality is voting will not solve our problems. In fact, we cannot allow ourselves to become distracted by political affiliations. The only way to get the change we seek is to show strength both economically and physically. So first, let's address physical strength. It is both irrational and un-American for us to continue to be met with force and not respond in kind. This is why we need all able Black Americans to exercise their constitutional rights and legally acquire a firearm. Perhaps Ahmaud Arbery would be alive right now had he been able to defend himself against the thugs who lynched him. And under Georgia's Stand Your Ground laws, well, he would have been within his legal rights. To all my gangbangers, my Bloods, my Crips, GDs, Folk, everybody, I'm asking you to help us protect our communities from the white supremacist groups who would harm us. You are already armed and you're not afraid to die. I hope that you see fit to call a truce and unite against a greater common enemy in order to protect our children, our mothers, our sisters, aunties, and grandmothers. Now we must address how we fight economically. America doesn't particularly care about Black life. If it did, we wouldn't still be facing what we're facing right now. What America does care about is Black dollars. So we have to start speaking America's language. Effective immediately, we will only buy food from Black-owned restaurants. This does not apply to grocery stores, as we don't feel there are enough Black-owned grocery stores nationwide at this point to accommodate the initiative. However, there are many grocery items you can find on sites like WeBuyBlack.com. Now, our Black-owned restaurant initiative means that you will need to avoid many of your favorite restaurants, but you will discover new Black-owned favorites. And you must ask yourself, what's more important? Understand that this is only phase one of a larger plan. We will implement phase two in the weeks to come. But this is something that everyone can do. So what's the point? And why will this work? According to both Nielsen and the CDC, Black people eat more fast food than anyone. By diverting our billions of dollars, we will accomplish two things. One, change is not free. Supporting only Black restaurants keeps our money in our communities, money we can ultimately leverage to create the changes we all want to see. And two, it uses our money, money we're already spending anyway, to create powerful billionaire allies. These companies will do what is necessary to get our dollars back. And if that means helping us to meet our objectives, well, then that's what they'll do. There are a few important notes to make when concerning this plan. This is not a boycott. We are not punishing white businesses. We are simply consumers who are making a choice to exclusively support Black restaurants in the strategic interest of justice and reform. Please note that we are exclusively supporting Black-owned restaurants, not minority-owned. The terms Black and minority are not interchangeable. So, to my Chinese, Korean, Arabic, and Indian restaurant owners, we have nothing against you personally. But if we don't do this now, there will be none of us left to buy your products anyway. If a franchise location is owned by a Black person, eat at that location exclusively. We will not harm our own people. There are websites like eatblackowned.com that you can use to find Black-owned restaurants in your area. But I'm confident that once everyone learns of our initiative, they'll let you know how to find them. We will not support non-equitable services. We will support Black restaurants that offer the quality and service we deserve. And if we have a negative experience, we will not generalize and say, see, this is why I don't support Black businesses. We will simply express our concerns to the management. And if we so choose, we just won't go back to that particular restaurant, just as we would behave with a restaurant that isn't Black owned. This is not a one-day event. Did you know that the famous Montgomery bus boycott lasted over a year? 381 days to be exact. It takes time and consistency to have impact, just as it took time and consistency to implement the racist constructs we are fighting. We will continue with our strategy until our demands are met. At times, this will not be easy. You will be tempted to stray. But please accept that there can be no change without sacrifice. A brief message to white Americans. We don't hate you. We don't hate America. We just need it to work for us in the same way it works for you. Please stop saying all lives matter. Saying all lives matter is like one house in a subdivision is on fire. The fire truck arrives, and you ask the fireman to douse your house with water, even though it's not on fire, because your house is important too. We've been asking for equality for hundreds of years now. Please process that. Understand, we're done asking. This word you see on my shirt is ukulwa. It's Zulu. It means fight. Black people, I need us to know that we are bigger than slavery. Our existence didn't begin when we became useful to America. We have our own continent, our own African culture, our own independent history. We are better than begging to not be murdered. The time has come for us to fight, and now we know how. Now, this plan cannot work if people don't know about it. So if you do nothing else, it's important that you share this post or the link to this post on all your social media. And whenever you mention the plan, please use the hashtag #HowWeFight. You can find a hard copy of the plan at thewilsonacademy.org. Remember, hashtag #HowWeFight. Share the post.
Wow, Byron F. Wilson, the Wilson Academy. Let me tell you something, that was very, very powerful. And I want to thank all of my guests that was on the Benny Randall Show tonight. I'm just saying that economic ownership is the only way that we're going to have power. Economic ownership is the only way we're going to have a voice. Economic ownership is the only way we're going to be able to move the needle. See, I just believe that we can march and we can protest and we can do all of those things, which all of those things are good, but they don't move the needle by themselves. But as Byron so eloquently said that, you know, some cultures, they don't come at them like that because they have the means to hold them accountable. And we gotta hold those accountable who want our vote and who want our money. And as long as we're not holding them accountable, then they will continue to do the things that they do. They will continue to get away with the things that they get away with. And they will see no need to change. Change only happens when people start to hold people accountable. And this was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, throughout the year of 2021, we're going to be getting some people to talk about economic ownership and economic power in the black and brown community. And I hope you're joining us right here on Bashani Radio app. Or you can listen online at BashaniRadio.com. I promise you, it's only going to get better. But we need that ownership to move the needle. I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And I just want a side note here. None of the guests on the show knew the other guest was on it, so there was no shots fired at any guest in any fashion or form, even though some may sound like it. But none of the guests knew any of the other guests were on this show tonight. I just picked up the phone and started going through the Rolodex to holler at a few people just so I can get a different perspective of what, how, and people were thinking and moving. And so I appreciate you. I appreciate you with all I got. And you make sure you join us right here on Bashani Radio app and BashaniRadio.com for the Benny Randall Show. I like to bring you big, powerful, and informative information that will keep you moving the needle. Until next time, you can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go over to Benny On Demand to my private community, or see me on IG at Bashani Radio app. I'm telling you, I love you and you can't do a damn thing about it. Bashani Radio app, right here every day, all day. Download free in the App Store and on Android. You ain't got no excuses, you heard? Until next time, I gotta get out of here. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator, aka Billionaire Benny. And remember, economic ownership moves the needle. Hold them accountable. Until next time, God bless and good night.
Many counted us out. They said we could not do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio App. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! In your face!
100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio App, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio App. Download it for free in the App Store.